Good afternoon. Thank you for joining our May 6th CMS COVID-19 weekly call with dialysis, nephrologists, and other providers who care for kidney patients. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to join us today. This is Alina Chekai leading stakeholder engagement on COVID-19 in the Office of CMS Administrator Seema Verma. Today, we are joined by CMS leaders and providers in the field who have offered to share best practices with you all. I'd first like to turn it over to Jean Moody-Williams, Acting Director at the Center for Clinical Standards and Quality at CMS, for a brief update on the agency's latest guidance in response to COVID-19. Jean, over to you.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you all for joining this call this afternoon. I have had quite a few updates over the past week, so hopefully you have been checking the website. We were able to publish an interim final rule with comment on last week, and it really did provide a number of waivers and flexibilities based on the requests that we have received, really some expansion to workforce and other items. So please take a look at those waivers. We've been receiving requests related to some of the activities from our ESRD network contractors who do a valiant job of working throughout the year with dialysis facilities and really helping to improve the care that I know that all of the patients are receiving along with those right on the front line. However, I know that during this time of COVID crisis and pandemic, there's certain activities that we've received requests that we suspend or delay, and we are looking at that and making some modifications to the expectations for the networks, and we should be able to give you a little more detail on that in the next week or so, but just wanted you to know that we heard you and we are taking a look at that. Also, we continue to get information and we're hearing of fewer shortages with the dialysis fluid and machines. So we think that things are at least working through that, although we do know that they still exist. So HHS is working with the FDA and the Department of Defense to increase manufacturing and strengthening the supply chain to address future needs as we want to prepare for now, but for whatever is ahead of us as well. So and HHS, our Health and Human Services, is working with the Department of Health from the state really understand the needs that as they come about. So thank you. I want to thank you for all the data that you've helped to provide and the information you've provided, which has really helped address many of the needs that you have brought forth. So I am pleased to introduce our speaker for the evening before we go to our question and answer. And we have Dr. Boeja, who is the Assistant Professor of Medicine and Nephrology at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York. So let me turn to Dr. Boeja, and then after that, we will take questions. So I'll turn to you now. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. As was mentioned, I'm a nephrologist at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City, and I have been seeing dialysis patients at the hospital-owned dialysis unit. So the hospital is affiliated with several different dialysis units, but I personally round at the main hospital-owned dialysis units, which actually happens to be in a commercial shopping complex. So as the pandemic was unraveling, we started to screen patients for symptoms of COVID at the door with a questionnaire and temperature screening. This was done actually by redeployed staff from clinics that had to be closed in favor of televisits. If patients were not wearing a mask by the time they entered the facility, they were given a mask to wear as best practice. And with time during as the pandemic was unfolding, about one third to a half of the chairs in the waiting room were taken out to avoid seating in close proximity. This is especially challenging with New York City real estate, but the treatment areas are larger and no patients are treated in seats closer than 6 feet from each other. No visitors have been allowed also, with the exception of patients who absolutely require assistance from an aide, for example, patients with significant disabilities. And if a patient screened positive for symptoms with the questionnaire, they're now taken back anyway to a patient examination area, and they're examined by the staff. If they have consistent symptoms, they're tested for COVID at the dialysis unit, and that is sent to the main hospital with a turnaround time of results of several hours, 4 to 6 hours. For that session, they're treated as a PUI, or a person under investigation, and dialyzed in a separate single enclosed room that is currently being used exclusively for PUI patients. If they're found to be positive, those patients are moved to a separate shift that has been designated for COVID-positive patients. That happens to be the last shift in the dialysis unit, and it starts no earlier than 6:30 p.m. to allow for sufficient time for the COVID-negative patients to leave the facility. In order to return to their original shift time, they have to be symptom-free for at least 2 weeks prior to return to that regular shift. Many of the patients that were positive, in my personal experience, they also had significant symptoms that required them to be hospitalized. Several of my patients who were suspected to have the illness but were also just found down in their homes as opposed to the dialysis unit, unfortunately. Although there was a plan in the beginning of the pandemic to set chair times to stagger patients and avoid them congregating all at once in the waiting room, this was delayed due to the unexpected nature of the pandemic, and that's the staggered chair times is expected to start shortly. The delay was largely due to staff limitations and the need to move patients from that original last shift to other shifts so that we could make that into a COVID-positive shift. The nurse manager at the dialysis unit has now created a schedule so that there will be the staggered patient chair times, and there will be a town hall for the dialysis patients tomorrow to explain this new system to them, as well as a formalized letter to each of them explaining the staggered system. Transportation is also going to be arranged to stagger their arrival to the dialysis unit. The hospital is also affiliated with other dialysis units, one of which is in a nursing home that I don't personally round at, but they also have a similar system. Given that it's in a nursing home, they are checking temperatures upon entry to the nursing home and again upon entry into the dialysis unit in and of itself. In terms of physician rounding experiences, due to the increase in inpatient demands during the peak of the pandemic, the timing on physical rounding by attendings was quite limited. So, but personally, though, people still went at least 3 times in the month, and we've now recently acquired iPads and video technology to allow for more televisits. But for the purposes of supporting patients and nurses, we are still physically rounding there at least once a week. So those are the practices that we've generally been following at Mount Sinai Hospital.
Thank you so much for sharing that valuable information. And I want to open up. First, let me see if Dr. Roach has any questions for you. But also, we will open up for others. So, operator, if you could please start to queue up the questions. But I'm going to turn to Dr. Jesse.
Thank you very much, Dr. Beweza. I do have one question. Have you guys had have you been affiliated with any of the, or have you used COVID positive unit? I know you had a shift, but have you had any units that were specifically set up for this, or were there in New York? Or I'm curious as to how that has worked out.
Yeah,
there was a plan for that. I just don't know if it happened.
Right. So I know with the Mount Sinai is also affiliated with several DaVita units. And DaVita, I believe, had been talking about designating some of their units into COVID positive units in Brooklyn and in the Bronx. However, due to in the beginning of this pandemic, there was a lot of fatalities, particularly in the dialysis population, and it ended up being such that some of these new units simply started to place their patients in other units and allocated them that way, as opposed to just designating only COVID units, at least the ones affiliated with Mount Sinai. So we just stuck with the dialysis shifts
at all of our affiliated units.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any other questions?
As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Again, as a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Dr. Boyza, I'll ask another question while we're waiting. You might have said this, and I apologize. Do you have an idea of what percentage of your unit ended up being positive, or a rough idea?
Yes, about 10%.
10%, okay.
Unfortunately, they all happened to be my patients as well, and which initially made me believe that maybe there was something to do with contact, but I don't believe that's the case anymore.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any additional questions?
Again, as a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we have a question from him, Paul Finelli. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you for the information. I have a question for the CMS folks on the phone. I actually have two. For facilities that are needing to add stations to account for segregation of COVID and non-COVID patients, in the waivers for ESRD guidelines, it seems like those were specific to special needs facilities and the ability to provide services in a nursing facility. If you just need additional stations within your facility, is that subject to any waivers right now? Can they do that without a new survey pending the end of the public health emergency?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is Karen Tritz. Yes, they can just request that and work with the state to get approval for those. That is not subject to the survey. Documents. Yeah.
And then the request, is that in what form does that take? Is it just up to the state? Like, does CMS need specific notification? Do we need to update the 3427? Anything like that?
Yes, it would be the 3427 document that would have that information.
Okay, so just update that and then work with the state in the survey.
Yes.
Okay, and then I apologize, I've been asking this every week, but I know that providers are very anxious about it. Any news on guidance around the ability to do home dialysis for AKI patients during a public health emergency?
I can answer that one. To answer your question, no, we do not have any further guidance on that. We're still discussing it. We're still talking about it, and we're still trying to figure out a way to implement it and do it in the safest possible way for all the patients. It's a little more complicated given the statutes and the current regulations.
I absolutely understand, but certainly becoming more and more of an urgent issue. So if there's anything you need from the community, please reach out. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have any more questions?
Your next question comes from the line of Fenton Williams. Your line is now open.
Yeah, I had a question for the presenter, and I was just wondering about how the process kind of worked itself out. Did you guys, was it some trial and error and things like that, or did you share information with other providers to get some sort of a best practices down to come up with the current process that you have in place there for handling patients that had coronavirus?
Yeah, thank you for that question. There's not really a precedent for this, but it was really in the practices that we developed were you know, we talked to other institutions to see what they had been doing, but really it was kind of an independent understanding and a trial and error. In the beginning, patients were sitting together in the waiting room, and it was clearly a problem. And a lot of them didn't have masks, so we started to provide them with masks. This was partially a trial and error, and then it became more of a systematic approach, particularly with the questionnaires and an understanding of protecting staff as well. So a lot of it happened very fast. It was very dynamic, but very fast, because at the end of the day, you know, we kind of implemented the same practices that we were doing inside the hospital itself.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any additional questions? Next question, please.
Your next question comes from the line of Shuyen Liu. You may ask your question.
Oh, yeah. I just have the same question, like, you know, how we distribute the two third shift to patient. Let's say we open another new shift, like how much gap you suggest, and what kind of infections that infection control we should do in between of the COVID positive shift and the COVID negative shift.
Right. Yeah. So some facilities have their COVID positive shifts as the first shift. We chose the last shift to allow for more time to clean after the patients are dialyzed, and we only allow patients who are COVID positive to come into the facility once all the COVID negative patients have left. So, for example, if a COVID positive patient ends up actually missing their treatment, they can't actually reschedule. Because there's only the one shift at the end of the day. And the cleaning is just like any other, you know, cleaning that you would do just in between. There's not a new practice necessarily. It's just more more dedicated. Everybody cleans the chairs down, and the nurses are wearing just surgical masks. And initially that was a little bit more concern because we didn't know what we were dealing with. A lot of the facility, including myself, were wearing N95s at the time. But it's an open unit, and we keep the patients far from each other, more than 6 feet apart. We don't put people in consecutive chairs, and we don't allow visitors.
Yeah, and do you suggest the designated personnel, the PCTs and nurse, only help with COVID, or it's okay to share that to the other shift? Let's say the nurse work on MWF, and it's okay to work on the TTS COVID shift as well?
Yes, that has been determined to be okay, including for attending faculty. Even in the hospital, I saw at the same time COVID positive and negative patients.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
and there are
thank
no further
you.
Questions.
Wonderful. So, again, we thank you for participating, and we absolutely enjoyed Dr. Gawaija, and thank you for answering questions. I'm going to turn it back to Alina to give us our closing comments.
Great. Thanks, Jean, and thanks, everyone, for joining our call today. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow for our CMS COVID-19 office hours. That will take place Thursday, May 7th at 5 p.m. Eastern. And on that call, we'll have our CMS subject matter experts on the line available to answer technical questions. In the meantime, please continue to direct your questions to covid-19@cms.hhs.gov. And again, we appreciate all that you are doing for patients and their families around the country as we address COVID-19 as a nation. This concludes today's call.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.